And that's where I was living, in this foil-covered, sterile environment with a $300 air purifier and some distilled water in a glass jar because I couldn't drink from plastic because plastic would make me sick. And that was the sick room. But the cool thing about the sick room was my brother had made me a sign.
On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the gospel truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started a little over a week ago talking about God wants you well. And I tell you, I'm excited about this. I just know in my heart what this has done for me. I have seen hundreds and thousands of people come to the Lord because of the demonstration of God's power through healing. And I know that this is happening worldwide. I know that the truths that I've been sharing have been causing some of you to believe that God wants you well. I tell you, it hurts people when they are suffering and they pray and they seemingly get no results, and then religion comes along and says, oh, God wants you to suffer. God did this to punish you. He's trying to make you better through this. And that hurts a lot of people. And I believe that the truths that I've been sharing about God wants you well, I believe it's liberating. And even if I haven't told you yet how to receive it and how to get it working in your life, just the truth that God is not the source of this. God is not the one who is making you sick. God wants you well. I know that that's setting people free. You know what I want to do today? I've got a testimony of a young woman, Nikki Oshinsky. She, since this happened, has gotten married. She's now Nikki Oshinsky Weller. She tells people she didn't stay sick, she got weller. Amen. But Nikki was a person that I met, I think it's been about 10 years ago, somewhere around 2000. And anyway, this I sent my television crew down to the Dallas-Fort Worth area to get her testimony, because when I met her and prayed for her, it was miraculous. She stood up and started walking, and I didn't even know that she couldn't walk. I didn't realize how bad the situation was. And of course, obviously, I was there when I prayed for her and saw her healed, and I was blessed, but at the same time, I was a little bit confused because all she did was stand up and start walking. And I thought, couldn't you do this before? I didn't know that she was to where she couldn't even lift her hand. She couldn't go to the bathroom by herself. She couldn't brush her teeth. She couldn't brush her hair. There was only a few foods on the entire planet that she could eat. She was dying, and her doctor said that she probably had less than a week to live. I didn't know any of this. And so when my camera crew went down and got her testimony and brought it back and showed it to me, I was overwhelmed. The first time that I fully understood the magnitude of what happened was when I watched this DVD that I'm going to share with you today. So we're going to cut to that. I want you to watch this, and I'll be back at the end of the program.
The beginning of it was, I was 14 years old. It was in April, I believe. And we had gone to Wednesday night service.
What a weird thing to have happen on the way home from church. I mean, life is wonderful, and then all of a sudden, bang.
Two cars in front of us went out of control, hit the median, and came bouncing off the median across us, now going sideways, backwards, in every way except for forward.
The car hit us from behind. We spun around. I slammed against the window, and then we came to a screeching halt.
We couldn't hardly talk because of the fear of the accident. It was raining, it was dark, there were other cars involved. We just lumped up in the back seat and started singing.
When the ambulance arrived and the police arrived, Mom was in the back seat trying to comfort me, and we were singing, "I've Got a Feeling Everything Is Going to Be All Right." I'm going to cry, as the ambulance went on, and I knew in my spirit that something had changed, but I knew it was going to be all right from then on.
That's really our lifestyle, was to, we've got a problem, let's press into God, and all we could even do was sing.
Police, a lot of tickets written to everyone except me. Then the ambulance is taking her to the hospital. And that was the start.
About 6 months after the accident, I had a pain in my left hip.
Every kid has aches and pains of growing up, and why shouldn't she? She was 14 years old, and her hip might hurt, but then it progressed to where she preferred not to walk.
It was weird because she just wouldn't come out sometimes because her hip was hurting, or she was just really sick.
I was like, can I use crutches, Dad? We had crutches from when my brother had broken his knee. I said, Dad, can we use crutches? And I used crutches for a couple of days, and they said, this is not normal. We are going to the doctor.
It ended up that Nikki would lay for hours at a time and actually tremble in pain.
So we went to the doctor that everybody goes to for sniffles and sprained ankle and all that. And she took x-rays and poked around on my leg and said, I can't find anything wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. She said, you're a homeschooler, aren't you? I had been homeschooled since the fourth grade. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She goes, you must need more attention at home. Go home. Nothing's wrong with you. So I went home, and the pain got worse and worse. It eventually spread throughout my entire body.
We saw another doctor and another doctor and another doctor and another doctor.
We went to 18 doctors. I know exactly what a doctor's office should look like.
Not only was her hip hurting, but she had other weird symptoms, like her legs would be cold and the trunk of her body would be hot.
My stomach would hurt all the time. I would get muscle spasms in especially my upper arms and in my back that would last for 2 months at a time and not go away.
There were some points where Chris and I looked at each other and said, where is this going to go?
The neurologist said she was perfectly fine, and then he said, go back to the rheumatologist one more time, and if he doesn't come up with an answer, the Mayo Clinic's the next step.
I never questioned the healing, but I questioned when the timing would come, because at one point I had run up to God, and I said, okay, God, when am I going to get healed? And he said, Nikki, this miracle is going to be a progressive miracle. I said, okay, I'm good with that. A progressive miracle is better than no miracle at all.
She didn't trust the doctors like she trusted God. And she knew that it was going to have to be him to heal her.
One of the things that I noticed early that stopped was natural crying. Nikki didn't cry when she was in pain. She would lay in pain, but she quit crying after not too long.
After about 2 years, I went to a rheumatologist, which I had seen the year before and had given me the diagnosis of fibromyalgia, which is a sister to chronic fatigue syndrome, but the opposite of it, because pain is more important than you being fatigued. And so he had given me that diagnosis, and really it's, we don't know what's wrong with you, so we'll call it this.
There was no cure. There was no answer. It was, if you had fibromyalgia, you had to learn to live with it. And we didn't want to accept that as an answer. There had to be something curable wrong. And he said, all I can do is give you sleeping pills to help her rest at night and pain pills to cope during the day.
Sometimes I wanted to be out, and it was hard to be out with all my friends and then know that Nikki was home. Just with mom or with dad.
She didn't sleep well. That's part of the illness of fibromyalgia, is not being able to sleep.
I remember for at least 2 years, between 1 and 4 in the morning, I would go to bed about 10. Then between 1 and 4 in the morning, mom would always end up having, I'd have to end up going get mom or yell for her, you know, depending on what my body was doing that time.
We had to buy a car, especially for taking her around, that we call it a marshmallow car because it had to be very cushioned. I learned to avoid certain streets because they weren't paved well. And if I did hit a bump, she would always go,
I didn't remember what it was like not to hurt. And I was even to the point where in all my dreams, I was sick.
I got to drive our first car. I mean, we were supposed to share it, but it didn't work out like that because she was so sick. I mean, I wrecked it, but she was cool with it. I mean, she was fine.
Something that she taught us through all of this is how to enjoy life. The moment. It didn't have to be big. It didn't have to be Disney World. It was the moment. Mom, look at that little girl. Look at that smile. Mom, look at that nice lady. You know, wasn't that sweet the way the check out, girl, talk to me today, or I sure like wearing this blue shirt. You know, just the small, little, wonderful things that we all take for granted.
If there's anything that made it work for me, it was her laughter every day. It might not have been for long, but it was always there.
Over 4 years, little by little, new symptoms were being added. And I don't know how long the span in between symptoms being added. I don't even remember when I started getting sensitive to candles or getting sensitive to smells.
We decided that we needed to pursue another doctor, that we were not getting any answers here. And we had heard about a clinic that was specifically for people who had symptoms that didn't connect with each other.
When we went to that clinic and I started getting saline IVs, which I were allergic to, and started getting saunas, is when it all sped up like fast forward, and it all collided in one big awful car wreck. You know, begin with car wreck, end with a car wreck.
And it got worse and worse and worse. That the very last stretch there.
Her whole muscular tone absolutely went out the door within a day.
I was in a wheelchair full time. I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't dress myself. I couldn't get myself out of bed. I couldn't bathe myself. Or Mom and Dad did everything for me.
It was weird to think that my sister is going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of her life.
15 shots a day. Just if I was exposed to something, they would give me an allergy shot to try to neutralize it. People would take histamine. You take antihistamines when you get a runny nose. That's so your body thinks that it's already released histamine, so it won't have an allergic reaction and you won't start sneezing or whatever. They would give me histamine shots, which I was allergic to, but we found the neutralizing dose. 5 of them a day. Then on top of that, allergy shots. Then on top of that, ALF shots. ALF is a serum they make from your own immune cells. They give it to cancer patients and to AIDS patients to boost their immune system. That, Mom bathing me, Mom feeding me, helping me use the restroom, Dad doing everything he could within his means, and my brother resolving to just make me laugh because he couldn't do anything else.
We knew that there was no way it was going to be resolved except by God. We were told over and over in prayer that no man would take credit for this. And we couldn't really understand how that was going to happen, especially at the point where she went into the clinic, because it was controlled by a man.
And seeing her so trusting in God and talking to him like she would talk to me was so awesome. I would hear talk about, oh, God said this and this and this to me today.
It was a blessing to me, and it's a blessing to me to be 20 years old and not have to wait till I'm 50 to realize that if it's just you and him, you're good.
I didn't know what to do other than encourage her, and that's why I made the sign like I did. Other than to tell her what God did for other people, because God loves everybody the same. So if he did it, if he healed the lady with the issue of blood, he'd heal my sister. I knew it. If he'd heal a leper, he'd heal my sister. I mean, same situations. And that's what I had to, that's why I did that. I wanted to show her that you are healed because God's already healed you and he's already did it for these people, so he's going to do it for you.
And that's where I was living, in this foil-covered, sterile environment with a $300 air purifier and some distilled water in a glass jar because I couldn't drink from plastic because plastic would make me sick. And that was the sick room. But the cool thing about the sick room was my brother had made me a sign. You know, when you're well, a day can be very long. But when you're sick, a day is forever. And so many things can go wrong in a day when you're sick. Then people say, well, you do it for an hour. An hour is a very long time If you watch a clock for an hour, it is a very long time. Well, you can do it for a minute. I can do it for a minute. If you ever sit there, and I challenge you to get a clock out and watch the second hand go around for a whole minute, that is a very long minute. I used to tell Mom I can do anything for half a second. Not even a second, because you can measure it. Anything you can measure can be very long. I can do anything for half a second with the grace of God, because He's there for you now. Because if you start looking ahead, you're going to get overwhelmed. For half a second, I trusted God. And then for the next half a second, I trusted God. And then for the next half a second, I complained that my feet were hurting. And then the next half a second, I was convicted, so I trusted God. Anybody can do anything for half a second with the grace of God.
I remember one day after I fed her, I had to come up here and because I couldn't be around anymore. I mean, we were 19, and I was feeding my sister food. I mean, that was stupid. Like, you would feed a baby. I was feeding my sister. And it just got to the point where, God, if you're going to do it now, because what else can I do?
We ended up going to a Christian chiropractor.
I was very shocked when I saw her, because the last time I saw her was about 4 or so years ago, and she was walking around her own power and being able to function very well. I examined her as best I could. I couldn't get her up and move around because she was not able to do that.
I was allergic to the metal that they would give me in butterflies to give me IVs. And it'd make my veins collapse and infiltrate where it goes out of the vein and the liquid starts leaking into between your skin. Horribly painful. Never want to do that. So they would give me catheters that were about this long, and they would put them in a vein, and they would leave them there for 3 days because my veins were so hard to find and so small from all the abuse and just how my body was that if they left it in there for 3 days, they could at least use it and exhaust it until they had to take it out.
I was concerned that, you know, this was going to such a degree and no one was really on top of what was going on. And since that really wasn't my department, you know, I was at a loss.
One day, I had gone to the clinic on a regular day, go there, get your IVs, get shots, get whatever. And I had started, when I got out of the sauna, I started jerking a little bit. It's kind of weird, you know? I didn't have any energy to jerk, but I was involuntarily jerking. Then when I was laying down, my body was jerking. Then it started jerking so bad that Mom wouldn't leave the side of the hospital table that I was on. She was afraid I was going to fly off of it. I couldn't sit up by myself. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. But she was afraid I was going to fly off this table because I was jerking so bad. For lack of better words, I was having a seizure.
And I said, Lord, I've got to know. Is Nikki going to die?
It was scary. The doctor came in and did everything he knew to do as the jerking got worse and went on for over an hour. And he said, Nikki, you just got to try to breathe and relax. Well, my diaphragm was even jerking. And so, how do you breathe when your diaphragm is jerking? So he leaves the room and we start praying. That's what you do when something happens. You pray. Mom calls Pastor on the phone and is praying. And I run up to God and I said, God, I hate this. I absolutely hate this. I don't want to be here. I've gotten very good at mind games. When your body hurts all the time and you're tired, you can just close your eyes and just tune out your body, you know? Not in a bad way, just tune it out. I was good at mind games, but that day I didn't have to play a mind game. I said, God, I hate this. This is the worst moment of my life. The demon voices that have been screaming for 5 years telling me, why are you doing this? Do you need attention that bad? Are screaming at me. My body is freaking out worse than I've ever seen, and my mom is scared. I can tell my mom is scared. You have to do something, God.
I also have experienced the personal war of faith. You know, Nikki talked about fighting the good fight of faith.
Most people don't realize it when it's the worst moment of their life, but I knew it. I knew it was. I said, I can't do this. I cannot do this. You have to do something. He was always faithful to me, but I said, buddy, you got to do something now. I can't deal with this. My eyes were closed, and I saw Jesus walk up to me. It was not a visitation. It was not a vision. It was not a sighting. It was Jesus walking up to me. And he walked up to me, and I was like, okay, this is normal. This is my friend, even though I'd never seen him before. He walked up to me, and he showed me his hands. I saw the holes in his hands, and he flipped them over, and he showed me on the other side the holes, and there was still blood in the holes of his hands. I said later, why was there blood in your hands? And he said, it's to show Satan, because that's the payment. That's the payment for everything. And then he turned around and he lifted up his tunic and he showed me his back. And there are, you know, it says, by his stripes we were healed. They're not stripes. I don't know who wrote that, but they misrepresented what was on Jesus' back. They're gashes. They're about this wide and they're very deep. You don't mend from something like that. They scar over a little bit, but they were all over. He was brutalized. He was tortured to death. And then this was the kicker for me. He turned around and he leaned in real close to me. And one cheekbone was higher than the other. And there was so much scar tissue around his eyes from the beating that you could barely see his eyes. But you could see him. Because the word says he was beaten beyond recognition. How are you recognized but by your face? I had never thought of that. I've known God almost my whole life, and I had never thought when you get to heaven, yeah, you're going to see the scars on his hands and on his back and everything, but never about his face. And it broke my heart because my best friend was standing in front of me saying, I did this for you because I loved you. He didn't stand in front of me and show me all that to say, why aren't you trusting me? Why are you flipping out right now? He stood in front of me and showed me all that to say, look what I did. It's done, Nikki. You're going to be healed. I've already paid for it. All he said to me was, I love you. And I said, I love you too.
I pray that that blessed you. Of course, we hadn't got to the good part where she's healed yet. It's just too long, and so we're going to continue that on our program tomorrow. But I just want to point out that Nikki was a person who loved God, who believed God could heal, and believed that God was going to heal her. But she didn't know that she had the authority to reach out and take that healing and make it come to pass. And I tell you, as we continue this testimony on our program tomorrow, I think that it is going to be a tremendous inspiration to you. I've shared this on our television program before. Nikki has stood on the platform with me and given her testimony. She did that just this last year. And I tell you, every time she gives this testimony, people get born again and get healed. It is a tremendous testimony to the power of God. And that's what healing is used for. God loves individuals, but yes, God wants to do these miracles to demonstrate how that He also can take care of every other aspect of your life. And so I tell you, I believe that this is going to be a real faith builder. I encourage you to listen. And also I want to promote that we have what we've called a better health care package. And it includes my teaching on CD and DVD, as well as my book, my study guide. And it'll have a Healing Journeys Volume 1 that includes Nikki's testimony in there. So it would be a real blessing to you. Listen as our announcer gives you that information and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs.
Let me encourage you once again to please get these materials that we're offering. I know that many of you are blessed as you hear the programs and it's building your faith and you're thinking, well, that's good, I'm getting it. But this is different than what you hear certainly out in the world, and even in most churches today, they do not present healing as something that God wants to do. You need these materials for yourself, plus you need these materials to be able to share with someone else. And so we have our CDs where I'm teaching on this subject. We have DVDs where I've taught on this subject. We have this little magazine or booklet that is a condensed teaching on many of the same things that I'm saying. But it has, like on the back, it has 64 different times listed every scripture reference where Jesus healed people. It's a tremendous package, so please listen to our announcer and take advantage of this.
You can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series, titled What About Paul's Thorn in the Flesh, is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, April 15th through the 17th, and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta, April 18th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs, June 28th through July 2nd. Join us tomorrow for the story of Nikki's dramatic healing.
Andrew just got up, taught on healing, then he said, all right, anybody that's in pain, come up.
When I saw him pray for people and they got instantly healed, I knew she was going to be healed. I knew. How do I know? I knew in my knower. I knew it. God had promised it. There had to be an appointed time, and tomorrow was Nikki's day.
That's tomorrow on The Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack.